On this third Sunday of Advent, we gather round this Advent wreath and this baptismal bowl. The Advent wreath directs us to Jesus, light of the world. And this bowl of baptism with the waters flowing into it directs us to remind us of our baptism when God spoke into our lives and said, "You are my beloved." And at Christmas, God speaks into the life of this world and says, "You are the beloved. To this world I have come." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, "On Jordan's Bank"?
We light this third Advent calendar and we rejoice in the blessings of this season.
We rejoice in the assurance that God is coming and light will overcome darkness, love overcome hatred.
As we trust in God, our hearts are filled with peace.
And our lives are filled with joy and anticipation.
So may God kindle within us compassion for others and hope for our world.
Great job. Let us pray. Holy and ever-loving God, we give you thanks that over and again you come into this world, piercing the darkness of this world with the light of your love. Be with us now as we gather in this place as one family worshiping you. Be with us as we journey through this Advent season. Grant to us your peace, your joy, your hope, your love. God, bless this time of worship. Open our hearts and our minds to receive you, and open our lives that we may serve you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And a very, very warm welcome into this house of God where we try not to trip ourselves up. Welcome, one and all. If you're visiting with us, we extend to you an especially warm welcome and invite you to join us for further fellowship through an Ehrman Hall. After this morning's service, we still have some Christmas baskets that are to be delivered to people within our community. If you're able to deliver a Christmas basket, could you please meet, let's just say, Debbie, Karen, and Tony in the foyer. There are still a number of baskets to be delivered. Thanks to those who delivered yesterday, and thanks to the deacons for organizing this wonderful mission and ministry within our community. This year, we were able to provide 46 boxes to different families. That's a tremendous effort. And through that, we reach out, we speak about hope. And that generosity is hope in action for some of our people in our community that their life and their Christmas is going to be a little bit brighter and happier because of your generosity. So thank you very, very much. This coming Thursday, hands up if you're feeling a bit harassed with too many things to do. I have the solution for you. Take an hour out of your life on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. It might not even be an hour. It might just be 45 minutes. It will be the best 45 minutes you have spent this Advent season. We will gather here in this sanctuary for a service, a Taizé service. It will be by candlelight. There will be a little bit of singing, prayer, and here is our gift to you, silence. 10 minutes of silence. When you're gifting everyone else this season, could I encourage you at 6 o'clock on Thursday to gift yourself with silence and time to reflect on the sheer wonder of this season and God among us. There are a number of other announcements in the bulletin. I ask you to look at these at your leisure. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and we will still have two services. We will have a service at 9:30, our normal diet of morning worship, and then a service at 6:30. There will be lots of music and lots of celebration, if at all possible. Please do come to both. I'd like to draw attention just to this nice display of flowers. Yes, there are lots of nice flowers. The sanctuary is looking particularly beautiful, do you not think? It really looks lovely, but I draw your attention to these flowers that are given in honor and in memory of Adrian Paffrath, whose birthday would have been the 22nd of December. So with Pat and the family, we remember Adrian with great gratitude and fondness.
Good morning, all.
Morning.
On this beautiful Sunday morning, it's so nice to see so many with families back to enjoy this joyous holiday season. Relish it. And as we commune today, please join me in the prayer of confession. God, whose patience puts up with our waywardness, forgive us. We confess our lack of faith in your loving power and your loving presence. We look around us, and all that we see is what we don't have. We fail to notice the daily blessings you lavish upon us. Clear our blindness to the needs of others. Strengthen us and move us from lame excuses for not serving you. Help us to truly listen to one another, not with our pat answers ready, but with loving and generous hearts. Heal us and make us ready to truly be your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Good Christian friends, rejoice with ardent soul and voice.
Please be seated. And let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that Christ was born to save us from ourselves, to save us from our mistakes, to save us from thinking that we are alone. Christ came into this world to remind this world that it is loved. So, God, speak once again to your world through the coming of your Son, through the reading of your word, through the singing of the familiar carols. Come, God, and speak to us and remind us that your word to the world is always a word of love. Amen. Hands up if you've made your Christmas lists of what you would like for Christmas. Nobody has made a Christmas list. Yeah? Have you made a Christmas list, Zoe? No? No. Hands down. That was pathetic, by the way. Okay, let's try this another way. Hands up if you're looking for some candy at Christmas. I tell you, come on, be honest, people, be honest. Who wants candy at Christmas? Yes, definitely. Do you have any special candy that you have at Christmas that you maybe don't have any other time of the year? What do you think, Dominic? Is there anything special? Smarties. Ah, I think you can get them all year. I'm not sure, but I do like Smarties. Yes, Taylor. Candy canes, that's right. You only get them at Christmas, yeah? Mm-hmm. Fudge. I think you get fudge all year round, but I like to think you get fudge all year round. Excuse me?
Cathedral windows.
Hands up if you've heard of those. I have never heard of those. Cathedral windows. And I'll get the recipe today. That's good news. I'm not saying that I'm going to make them, but hey-ho. Any other special candy that you only get at Christmas? Sarah? Peanut butter brittle. Peanut brittle. Peanut brittle. Do you just get that at Christmas? No? Nah, not too sure. Yes. Someone down here? Autumn. Skittles. I think you get them all year. What? Fairy food. What? Fairy food. I've never heard of that. Dark chocolate covered cherries. Nancy Buck is very specific about this. Dark chocolate covered cherries. Yes, one more. Chocolate covered pretzels. Oh, hands up, who likes them? I could feel a ripple of, who's rushing out to the store to buy some after worship? So, yeah, I like that, the chocolate with the pretzels. I like that savory and sweet, the perfect combination. So back in Scotland, we have something that that we give at Christmas, and you usually only see this at Christmas. Oh, have you seen this before? It's a Terry's chocolate orange. A chocolate orange. So when you are eating this, you can persuade yourselves that you're really, really healthy. Because you get your fruit. So I think of this this chocolate orange. It's kind of makes me think about Christmas. Because it's round. What else is round? The world. The world is round. And this Terry's chocolate orange reminds me that Jesus came to the whole world. The whole world round. And that Jesus, although he was born in a stable, he was born a king. And when I look at the wrapper, you see it's quite sort of glistening, shiny, and it makes me think of Jesus as a king with his shiny crown. But there's something else about this chocolate orange, because What we do is that we tap it kind of loudly. And then, you're going to see this in a minute, I hope. It goes into sections, like an orange. Ah, isn't that clever? Isn't that clever? And so, you know what I like about this? It's in nice sections, all these individual sections, and I think that reminds me that, you know, Christmas is about sharing. We share our chocolate orange, if you're lucky. She says, holding on to it firmly. We share, and Christmas is about sharing. Could you see it over here? Can you see it from here? Because that's as close as it's going to get. This is from the woman who walks into my office on a regular basis and helps herself to my chocolates. This chocolate is staying well away from you, Pat. Yeah, I also have to say that Pat is the one that supplies the chocolates in the office. But, you know, Christmas is about sharing. Because God, in the first instance, shared with us. God shared his gift of love, the gift of a son, gift for the world. And sometimes I think we hold on to that gift and we think that Jesus is all ours. But Jesus is to be shared. Jesus came into the world to tell the whole world round, that it is loved. And what God wants us to do, as he shared his love with us, he says, go into the world. Go into the world and share that love. That is what Christmas is about. It's about sharing the love that God shared with us. And so whatever else you do this Christmas, whatever else you share, whatever else you give, I invite you, for the sake of the world to which God came, to share the love of Jesus Christ in word and in action. Amen. So I'm not going to share this. I'm not going to share this because that's my gift to you. My gift to you is that I'm not going to share this because the best before date on this is December 2015. And you know, if you don't share something, it ruins. So let's remember, we need to share the love of Christ. What a beautiful piece of music. There's something about Christmas and music that goes together. But we're not all musicians. There's a story told of a man who was visiting a craft fair. And he and his wife were wandering around, and they were looking at all these different things that people had made. And they were looking at, there was a stall with flutes and dulcimers and recorders, some beautiful handcrafted musical instruments. And the man picked up one of these things off the stall, and he noticed it was a one-stringed instrument. And he thought that it was a one-stringed mouth harp. So he put it up to his mouth and he started to pluck it, and some of the other people who were wandering by looked on in amusement, and he was plucking away at what he thought was, as I say, a one-stringed mouth harp. His wife could stand it no more, and she moved over to him and she said, "Honey, you do know that you're trying to play a cheese slicer." Not all of us are musicians. There's another story told about a woman, and this woman, after she retired, said to her husband, "You know what I would really like? I would really like to learn to play the piano." And she was telling her daughter this as well, and her daughter said, "Well, get Dad to buy a piano for your birthday." And sure enough, the man bought his wife a piano for her birthday. Several months later, the daughter came to visit, and there was no piano in the house. She said to her dad, "What happened with the piano?" And he said, "Well, we decided that your mum would be better to play the clarinet rather than the piano." And the daughter said, "Why is that?" And the father said, "Well, when she's playing the clarinet, she definitely can't sing at the same time." Some of us are not musicians, and some of us are not singers. But there's something about music and about song. So whether we can sing or make music, it still speaks to our hearts. There's something about the music of Christmas that is so nostalgic. How many of you, when you hear certain pieces of music, find yourself transported back to an earlier time in your life? I know that I do. Can you remember who you were with? What you were doing? Are there certain songs and carols that you love to hear at Christmas? Are there hands up if you've certain carols that it's not Christmas unless you hear them? Music really speaks to us. When Nancy told me that they were going to play Away in a Manger, she said, "To the old tune." Is that right? The old tune, or a different tune. I said, "Thank you." So here's the thing. A lot of people say to me at this time of year, "Do you miss being away from Scotland? Do you miss your family and your friends?" And of course I do. But you know, FaceTime's a wonderful thing. I get to speak to them. And then I get to switch it off, which is great. But here's the thing that I miss. You see, when we sing Away in a Manger, we sing it to that tune. And there's something about words and music coming together. So there are a couple of carols that you sing that I think, that's not the right tune. "It came upon the midnight clear, O little town of Bethlehem." And you know what? I miss the music. I miss the music that transports me back to childhood. Because music really speaks into our soul. What would Christmas be without music? Without the sound of the Messiah raising the roof in concert halls and venues all throughout this land and throughout the world? What would Christmas be without music? Do you know the prophet Isaiah, when he was prophesying about the coming of the Christ, spoke about how there would be music and singing centuries ago? He spoke about how the desert would start to sing, everything would blossom. And there would be singing and there would be celebration. Singing and celebration. He sang the coming of the Messiah. He said that when the Messiah would come, there would be great, great joy. And we now, centuries later, sing to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but it's hard to sing. It's hard to be joyful. C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher and theologian, tells a story of how he knew this old Methodist, this old man. And he said that no matter what time of day he turned up at this man's house, whether it was first thing in the morning, or whether it was out at the man's work, or out in the fields, or last thing in the evening, he said, every time I saw that old man, he was singing. And he said, one day I said to the old man, why are you always singing? And the old man said, because I've always got something to sing about. That must be great, always to have something to sing about. But you see, sometimes I think our songs are not songs of joy. They can be songs of lament and songs of sorrow. We look out at our world, and there's much to make us feel sorrowful. But at this time of the year, we sing songs of joy because we show in the face of the sorrow and the sadness and the bitterness and the hatred of this world, we sing a hope. The hope that has been sung for centuries, that God is on his way, God is coming into this world, and when God comes, things will be different. Things will be different, and things will be worth singing about, because the old order will have passed away, and the order of peace and justice and love and hope and joy will come to stay. Let us read from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 35. And over and again in this, Isaiah speaks about the singing and the music and the joy. This is a good word for us Presbyterians. I sometimes hear people saying, oh, all that music in church and all that loud noise and all that clapping. And I say, read your Bibles, people. Read your Bibles, because the sound of the trumpet is the sound of the Psalms. The sound of singing and joy is the sound of Isaiah the prophet. Why would we not sing and play the trumpet and ring the bell and strum the guitar and tootle the organ? Isaiah chapter 35, reading from verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and with singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty grounds, springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they shall come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. And thanks be to God. When John F. Kennedy was a senator, he paid a visit to San Antonio, to the Alamo, where we know that a handful of Texans held off the Mexican army. And John F. Kennedy made a speech outside the Alamo, and as he was speaking, the crowds were swirling round about him. And at the end of his speech, he turned to one of the local senators, and he said to this man, Maury Maverick, he said, "Maury, get me out of here. Take me out the back door." Maverick turned to him and he said, "Senator, if there had been a back door at the Alamo, there would have been no heroes." I want to tell you this morning that Isaiah was a hero. Isaiah was a hero for the people of Israel. Like ourselves, the people of Israel were going through difficult and trying times. Difficult times where they felt that they were in a wilderness, in an exile. The Assyrian army was round about them all the time. They were in the depths of depression, and they could see no hope, no joy, no future. And the prophet Isaiah is their hero who comes to their rescue and who says, "Be strong. Stand up on strong knees with strong hands. Take heart, be filled with courage, because your God is coming." Isaiah is the hero of the people of Israel because he gives them a vision of a time when the crocus will bloom in the desert, where there will be rejoicing, where the burning sands will be filled with cooling waters, where the whole way of the world will be turned on its head. Don't you long for that day when the way of the world will be turned on its head, when the lame will leap for joy? Don't you yearn for a day when justice will rain down, when we can all live in a place filled with peace and with hope? I long for that day. And that's why we come here, especially at this time of year, because we hold on to our hope that, yes, God is coming and a new world order is going to come to pass, where there will be hope, where there will be justice, where we can all live at peace one with the other. I long for that day to come. And as Isaiah was the hero for the people of Israel, I believe that you and I this day have to be the heroes for this day and this hour, that we need to hold on to that hope that our God is going to come, and that hatred will not have the last word, and that injustice will not win the day, and that war will not have the last word. I hold on to that hope, and I believe that that is the hope that we share with the world. A hope that fills us with joy. That God is coming. That God is coming. There's a story told by a man called Michael Dent, who is a pastor. And Michael Dent recalls traveling along a road day after day. And as he traveled along this road, every time he passed a sign that said, "Little Hope Baptist Church this way," he would look at that sign and say, "What church calls themselves Little Hope?" And this kind of intrigued him. And he would pass this sign day after day. And one day he decided, "I am going to follow that sign to find this church that calls itself Little Hope Baptist Church." And one day he took a detour and he went to Little Hope Baptist Church. What do you think he found? Do you think he found a small, decaying, unkempt, unloved church? No, he didn't. He didn't at all. He said he was astonished. He arrived at this beautiful brick-built church that was obviously very well cared for, very well loved. He noticed that the parking lot was filled with cars, and he noticed that there was a sign outside that explained how this was a very historic church. And it gave the history of the church, and it told about all the different things that the church had done, and all the missions that it had and it continued to perform. And at the end it said, this congregation seeks to continue into the future, serving and helping this community called Little Hope. And he said, as he read that sign, he said, isn't that wonderful? Here is a Big Hope church that just happens to live in a community called Little Hope. I read that story and I thought, there's a message there for us. I think we live in a Little Hope community. Out there, there seems little hope. But I believe that we are a Big Hope church. Because at the very heart of our mission and at the very heart of this family of faith is the hope that God is on God's way. In fact, God is right here. God is here in your life and in my life. As we send out food parcels to people in our community, as we offer music that thrills people's souls and hearts, as we offer a place for people to gather to worship God in community across the ages, as we reach out to our food pantry clients and give them caps and gloves to keep them warm and food to keep them strong and healthy, as we remember our neighbors in Cuba, we are a Big Hope church in a Little Hope community. May God be with us. May God come into our lives. And may God enable each and every one of us to reach out to our communities where there is little hope with the big hope and the big assurance that God is here. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Would you greet one another in peace? Now, we're going to sing, it's from the book Renew. If this tune does not evoke some powerful memories for you, then I don't know what will. It's the Londonderry Air. Ushers, please uplift the offering. Please be seated. So I thought that was a particularly beautiful rendering of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And let's be really like the Psalms, and let's clap our hands and applaud that wonderful play. Let us pray. God, we play, O come, Emmanuel. Come, God with us. It is the song of our lives, and it is the prayer of our hearts. Come, God. Come into our world. Come and give us reason to sing with joy. Come and let the desert places of our lives burst into flower. Come and turn this world upside down. Bring justice and hope. Release those who are poor from the binds of poverty. Set free those who are addicted. Heal those who are diseased. Bring peace where there is war and division. Come, Lord God. Come and be with us as we celebrate your coming into the world. Be with our loved ones far and near. Be with those who will travel. Grant them safe travels, traveling mercies. Be with those who will gather round a table where someone is missing. Grant to these places peace, comfort for mourning and grieving hearts. Come, God. Be with those who are suffering the effects of wildfires in California, those who are suffering the effects of famine and disease in Africa. Be with those who are suffering under oppression, in dictatorships whose oppression we can hardly imagine. Come, God, set all of your people free, so that all may live lives that are full, so that all may know your love, so that all of us, God, may live at peace. O come, Emmanuel, into our hearts and into our lives and into this family of faith. Remind us that we are the ones with a big hope to share with our communities the hope that is you, coming out of love. God, send us into your world to share hope with others, to share the joy and the love and the peace of this season. Come, God, and hear our prayers, and hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may you go forth into the world to spread the hope that is the hope of God come to be with us. Go into the world and share this hope with friend and neighbor. Go into the world knowing that as you go, the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and rest and remain with you and with all whom you love, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Jesus Christ be with you all.
Absolutely.